Mediocrity Podcast, talking about that nerdy stuff, movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger's hosting the show. Jeremy Meggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury, he sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
Yeah. Woo! That was so good. Oh, I'm so happy that happened. I am so happy that happened. Hey, guys. Hey, girls. Mediocrity Podcast. That was a live rendition of our theme song sung by Atterbury himself.
We don't need no stinking keys.
I want to say thank you to Jeremy for mentioning this, suggesting this open today. Fantastic job. And I must say, John didn't know the lyrics to our theme song. He had to go look them up.
I did not know the lyrics. I did not have the lyrics memorized that I wrote, because it's not something that does well in my brain.
Oh, that was so funny. He almost lost it there, folks. He almost did, because we're all on video and we all see each other laughing. But
yeah, just watching you guys laugh your asses off.
You squeaked it by. That was very, very awesome. I really much enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Oh, that was perfect. Mediocrity Podcast, where the show is just okay. We are here live with another week of episode number. I don't know what episode we were on. We're like 82 or something like that. We're up there. I can't believe we've done this many podcasts. It's insane. We have a great show for you today. First, find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We do lots of fun things on here. Of course, joined by the hostesses with the mostesses, Jeremy and Jonathan. How you guys doing?
Doing grand. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Jeremy, you all right?
Doing great.
We have some fun stuff coming up on this podcast. First off, we've got to talk about, in hopefully spoiler-free form, Avengers Infinity War.
It freaking better be, because nobody's seen it yet except for you guys.
I must say, Jeremy did draw me, illustrate me, an awesome picture of Spider-Man for the screening we went to, and it is badass. And he left right after the screen. I stuck around for a few minutes, but I was holding this piece of art he drew me. And somebody came up and was like, dude, that is awesome. He took a picture of it, and I was like, yes, Jeremy Meggert art. Go look that up, Jeremy Meggert. He's like, dude, that is so good. He, like, wrote it down and, like, took a picture. So I don't know, Jeremy. You might have some work coming your way.
Well, that would be awesome.
So,
you know, I do think it's funny with the, you know, with us going to see all these movies, I feel like we should acknowledge what's really going on here. And ever since John moved away, I have been nonstop going to every fucking cool movie with Brian. And really, when you actually examine it, I think that it's Brian punishing John for moving.
Yeah, I think it's both of you punishing, because you didn't used to go to these when I was still lived there. And now you go to them all the time when I'm not there.
The Avengers, Star Wars.
Jeremy is my movie buddy, Brian. He's my movie buddy, you son of a bitch.
Well, we just have to get you out here for the movie screenings.
All right.
All right.
I guess I'll have to just do that.
All right.
I'll try my bestest.
Just you know, just wait a little bit, because I got Deadpool coming up, and then I got Star Wars, and we got some Incredibles. Why don't you come like in November for Aquaman?
Yeah, that seems right up your alley.
That's what I've been dying for.
Oh, it's so good. It's so great. But yeah, we have to talk about Avengers Infinity War. First off, box office-wise, that little horror movie by John Krasinski, Jim from The Office, called A Quiet Place, has made over $200 million. It's getting a sequel, and it was number one this past week. However, that's probably not going to be the case this week, because Avengers Infinity War is coming out.
I think it's a safe bet. But yeah, it's not going to be number one this weekend.
It's going to be number one for at least a few weeks. This is the culmination of 10 years of Marvel movies, basically, coming to a head in Infinity War. And I know Jeremy and I talked a lot about it. We talked about it on podcast. We've talked about it in person. And we saw it. It's 2.5 hours. It went by super fast. It's good. It's damn good. I loved every single bit of it. Jeremy, what say you?
It's been really tough these last few days because almost every sentence instinctually starts out with me wanting to talk about this movie and saying, you know what I can't fucking believe happened? And then I have to catch myself constantly. But I feel like one of the biggest compliments for this movie is there are a lot of fucking characters in this thing. And it never once feels that they forced all of these people in this movie. Like, when they're bringing people into the plot and kind of back it off and going and showing somebody else, like, everything feels really organic. Nobody just randomly shows up, you know? And I think that's really, like, a good testament for building a movie with that many people, that it just, everything feels really good.
I echo that sentiment for sure. The Russo brothers who directed this did a fantastic, phenomenal job on weaving in every character here. And there's a lot. There's, 18 characters maybe or more. And it's insanely good. And like I said, there's never any slow pacing here. It's just an all-around great film. And I'll say this. It's probably equally emotional as it is funny. Because the mix of those is just perfect in every way. And I got to say, some of the greatest, character entrances, you've seen these characters like Captain America, Iron Man, Hulk, but the way they introduce them into this movie is so good and so cool. I'm not one for applause during movie or, cheering audibly. That happened in this movie. I did that several times, and I wasn't the only one.
The rest of the audience did it constantly. Brian did it 3 times.
Wow, that's high praise.
Yeah, it was.
I know he hasn't applauded like that since Salo.
That's very true. Salo and this movie are just kind of similar. But yeah, it's good. I can't wait for everybody to see it. Yes, and of course there is a tag at the end of the film, so you got to stick around for that extra scene. That's what Marvel's
is there just
for.
One post credit scene, or are there two?
One.
Alrighty.
One so far. I am, so before any of you see this movie, this is not really a spoiler. However, in the credits, at the end of the credits, there is something that says thank you to everybody from Arrested Development. And that's all it says. So a lot of speculation was supposedly everybody that was in Arrested Development, the main Bluth family, is in this movie somewhere. So I have to go back and see it and see if I can spot everybody.
I'll look out for that.
We talked about that, right, Jeremy, after the screening?
We did.
Yeah. So I have no idea what to think about that. But yes, Infinity War. Do you have any questions for us?
They're all in Wakanda wearing blackface makeup.
Yeah, seriously. Do you have any questions for us, John? About
no, I don't want to know anything. I don't want to know anything. I'm really glad. Okay, I wanted to know if you guys liked it, and I'm really glad that you did. I can't wait to see it. That's all I want to know.
Well, so Jeremy hasn't really said if he's liked. He said he's had a hard time, talking about without talking about.
He liked it. He liked it.
Oh, yeah. I loved it.
He loved it. So I did a big article on HighDefDigest.com, and I ranked all of the Marvel movies in the MCU from worst to first. And this Infinity War came number two, only to Black Panther, which they're both right neck and neck. But yeah, that's how good this movie is. I mean, this beats Guardians of the Galaxy 1. This beats Iron Man 1, Avengers 1. It's that good. So
I'm seeing it Saturday.
You're seeing it Saturday?
Even if I have to go to the theater and watch it by myself, I'm going. I'll be that guy. Just lean over to the guy next to me and be like, dude, I can't believe that just happened.
Yeah, I need to see this again. I want to see it in IMAX. I don't want to see it in 3D really, but I want to see it in IMAX or like a big sound studio, like with Atmos sound. But yeah, I got to see this again. It's just, it was damn good. And like, there's no like side storylines or tangents. It is like all focused on, you know, Thanos getting the stones and, you know, the whole thing there. So it never deviates from that, which is really cool. And there's a lot of really like really funny bits in it. There's a lot of really like stuff that will surprise you. I'm just excited about it. And I think you'll just be shocked and awed and whoa, you'll audibly gasp in it. And, I want to see this again, Jeremy. Are we going to go see this again?
I'm going to see it Saturday.
Oh, so y'all can watch it together technically on Saturday.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. We will not take time to explain why that made no sense.
Sure.
Sure. So yeah, I don't know exactly what else is coming out this weekend. However, whatever comes out this weekend, good luck to you because you're going to need it.
It's all irrelevant.
It is all irrelevant. Yeah, this movie's great. Go see it. Avengers Infinity War will be in theaters starting tonight, actually, 7 p.m. tonight through probably the next several weeks. So yes. All right. Moving on to some more movie news. I've got to bring up what's called CinemaCon. CinemaCon is a really cool, like, not film festival really, but kind of like a Comic-Con, but for movies, set in Vegas every year. And it's where kind of movie studios get together just to talk about their upcoming films and show clips and bring the actors and directors and everything. So they've been showing tons and tons and tons of stuff, such as the new Halloween movie and the new Jurassic Park and new Deadpool and just all sorts of really cool things coming out. Supposedly Halloween is going to be a direct sequel to the first Halloween movie in the 70s. Every other like nine of those films are not going to be mentioned. So I'm very excited about that. If you're like the Halloween franchise, y'all like the Halloween franchise?
Not really. It's all right. I've never seen a great Halloween movie.
Not even the first one?
Even the first one to me doesn't strike me as being a great movie. It's just okay.
Weird. Okay. All right. I'm just asking. What else? What else is going on? So we've been talking about the movie Predator, right?
We talked about that in the last episode.
Yes. So at CinemaCon, they actually revealed the actual plot synopsis. Do you want me to read it to you?
Yes, please.
Okay. The Predator synopsis for the upcoming movie this year. From the outer reaches of space to the small town streets of suburbia, the hunt comes home in Shane Black's explosive reinvention of the Predator series. Now the universe's most lethal hunters are stronger, smarter, and deadlier than ever before, having genetically upgraded themselves with DNA from other species. When a young boy accidentally...
DNA from Adrian Brody.
Yes. When a young boy accidentally triggers their return to Earth, only a ragtag crew of ex-soldiers and a disgruntled science teacher can prevent the end of the human race.
Well, that sounds like a completely irrelevant plot line.
That sounds terrible.
So, Thomas Jane is one of these soldiers. Jacob Tremblay from Wonder and The Room is the little boy. Olivia Munn is the disgruntled science teacher. And you have Jake Busey, Keegan-Michael Key from Key and Peele, Boyd Holbrook, Edward James Olmos, Alfie Allen from Game of Thrones, all being in the film.
So we know Alfie Allen's going to be like the first person to be killed.
And Edward James Olmos is the Predator.
No makeup required.
Oh, that's so funny. I have no idea what to think of this. Like, so you have Fred Dekker and Shane Black. Both of those guys did Monster Squad. Shane Black went on to do Iron Man 3 and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I have, and plus Shane Black was in the original Predator movie as the guy who told, like, the pussy as big as a house joke. So it's cool that they're doing this. With that being said, I'm curious. I mean, I'm really happy to see, like, a Predator come to a suburban neighborhood and see what that's like, because we haven't seen that really yet. But genetically upgraded, I don't know what to, like, do I expect half Predator, half, like, monkey, half dog? I don't know what to expect. I don't know.
This kind of loses me with the whole, like, Predator in the suburbs bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it's great. It sounds like it's probably going to be better than the last movie Predator was in. It's not really, you know, that high of a bar.
I prefer Predators to Alien vs. Predator movies, for sure.
I would agree.
Okay. The Adrian Brody Predator.
Yeah, but Topher Grace is fucking in Predators.
I like Topher Grace. He was Venom.
I know.
Speaking of Venom, we got a new Venom trailer, and it looks spectacularly shitty.
Yes, it does. It was. I watched it twice just to make sure it was that shitty the first time. And holy yep. God, that movie, that or the trailer was god awful.
I watched it. The exact same thing. I watched it once, and I was like, "What the fuck did I just watch?" And then I watched it again. I was like, "Yep, that looks horrible."
Ooh.
It's not. No bueno.
And what did you think, Jeremy?
The first time I watched it, I didn't hate it. And I watched it a few more times after that over the next couple of days. And the more I watched it, the less I like it.
Ah.
There's just so much story stuff that they're skipping out on for the character. That this is like, you know, you could arguably say that a Marvel Comics that Venom is one of the coolest kind of like villain characters that they have. This is, you know, having him be an anti-hero is kind of like if you were like going to make the Joker an anti-hero. It just doesn't make sense, you know, and it I don't know. I'm not feeling it.
All right. Yeah, I'm not. Me neither. At least it's Tom Hardy with a mask over his face again, you know? It's just kind of his shtick now. But yeah, the movie just, hopefully it's good. Let's hope.
Now, I told you guys that I saw a couple movies this last week, right?
Okay, so yes, Atterbury is finally playing catch up since he's not here with us to go see these movies early. He's seen a couple movies. Which movies did you see?
Last week I saw Ready Player One, which I was very excited to watch since I loved the book so much. And then just yesterday I went and saw Rampage.
Okay, so let's start with Ready Player One.
Ready Player One, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would give it a big, fat, whopping 5.
Okay.
Yeah. I walked out of that going, okay. Like, I didn't hate it. I wouldn't say I liked it. It was just kind of like, okay, that happened. I understand why they had to do what they did with the story, but it was wildly different. Like, as you know, Brian, like, damn, that was so different than the book.
Which is fine, but
right.
The whole point of the movie was what it seemed in the film adaptation is that turn off your video games, go outside and play. However, there's no, like, outside, and they never go into that kind of story arc. You just kind of see it in the background.
Yeah, and it's just like a passing comment, like – what I didn't like is that the book has so much complexity to the characters and the development of the characters and all this stuff, and that when they have that big release at the end, it feels so good. But this was just like – it was Ready Player One for dummies is what I felt like. It really just got watered down. The message was lost, and you just – I don't know. The coolest scene in the whole thing was the Overlook scene.
Oh, the Shining part. I was so giddy because I love Stanley Kubrick and The Shining, and just to have yep. you know, Spielberg kind of working on a Kubrick film again, and how they got everything perfectly right with that.
Yeah, that whole Overlook scene was the best part of the film. But everything else was, I don't know, a lot of the changes they made I felt like were unnecessary and really just served to make it a stupider story. So, yeah, I wouldn't say I was particularly pleased with it. Not a good book to film adaptation, in my opinion.
Well, I just want to say that now we officially have a Chucky movie that was directed by Steven Spielberg.
A Chucky cameo.
Yeah, directed by Spielberg. That was so great. Okay, moving on to Rampage and your favorite star, The Rock.
Rampage was awesome. I would give Rampage an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10 for what it is. You know, yeah. I'm not saying it's the same thing as, you know, anything else that's like a more serious, incredible, dramatic movie. But for what it is, this was a friggin' 8. It was awesome.
That's The Rock, though, and you know, we've talked about this in past episodes about him and why he chooses his movies. But my writer Dan Moran talked about Rampage in his review, and that The Rock knows he's in on the joke. Like, he knows it's like a ridiculous movie, but he makes it so he makes you care for it, and he's charming and witty and funny, and it just makes all sorts of sense.
It works. I would describe Rampage as King Kong meets True Lies meets the best Godzilla movie ever.
True Lies is a one-of-a-kind movie.
It just had that same kind of tongue-in-cheek action while being funny and yet also being sincere. It was hard to explain, but it had that dynamic to it. But really, it was, if you just boiled it down, best Godzilla movie ever made. So much better than the other actual Godzilla films we've had. And this movie just nailed it. It was so much fun. I walked out of that just going, yeah, that was awesome. I had such a great time watching that movie.
I'm glad you liked it. I agree. I would say that most things are better than Ready Player One. Although, I really want to see Ready Player One again just to see what all I can pick out and everything, you know, by pausing the Blu-ray or something like that.
Right.
Oh, that's there. But there were some really cool moments, like seeing the Halo stuff and Overwatch stuff, and you know, that was kind of
fun. Really, it was like in the book, it was what made this movie good. I wouldn't say like in the book because the book was actually a fantastic book, but they're just the Easter eggs, really. That's what made this movie fun.
Right.
If you took out the Easter eggs, the acting, the storytelling, the actual plot they had recrafted for the film was just not great.
All right.
Although the score was really good.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, all the 80s music, of course.
Well, no, not the soundtrack, the score.
Oh, the score. Okay.
Yeah. Which is Alan Silvestri, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always good.
And he did a great job.
Always, always, always good. I always like it. Yeah. Jeremy, do you have anything to say about those movies?
I have not seen them.
All right. Soon.
Are you going to watch Rampage?
I will watch Rampage.
He will watch Rampage.
I don't know when, but I will watch it.
All right.
There we have it, folks.
All right. I've got some Star Wars news for you. You want to hear some Star Wars stuff?
Lay it on me, Harry fella.
Harry fella, Star Wars stuff. All right. So do y'all watch Star Wars Rebels or ever seen that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So the creator of that show, Dave Filoni, is leaving that show. Rebels is not ending, but he's leaving that show, and he's moving on to a new Star Wars show, animated show called Resistance. Star Wars Resistance, and it is going to take place just prior to The Force Awakens, where it will feature Oscar Isaac and Gwendolyn Christie's character, most likely Poe Dameron and Captain Phasma. Of course, and BB-8, but it's going to tell the stories just prior to Force Awakens, which I'm very excited for.
Well, Rebels ends this year.
Okay, so Rebels does end?
Yes. This season, the season 4 is the last season, which I think is actually going right now.
Okay. So after that, we're going to get a new one called Star Wars Resistance, and they're wasting no time, but I'm excited for this because, you know, when Force Awakens starts, you're kind of like, oh, well, all this history's happened, and like, who's Poe? Who's Captain Phasma? How they join the ranks? And who is the old guy Poe Dameron's talking to in the beginning of Force Awakens? I think it's going to explore a lot of that whole thing. So I'm excited for that. Y'all?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I was gonna say I don't really care that much about that. There's so much other stuff that they're not addressing that I want to know about.
Yeah.
Like what?
And the resistance is not one of those things.
Like what?
I would much rather see what Luke's been doing on that island by himself the whole time, or see what he did with his rebuilt Jedi Academy. If they addressed that whole thing building up to when Kylo Ren split, I would have much rather seen that in a cartoon.
That might happen.
I concur.
That might happen. We don't know yet.
Well, unless it's the focus, it's not what I want.
Because you see a little bit like of in Battlefront in the campaign, you actually see Luke find the compass.
Yes.
Right.
You know, so to me, that stuff is more interesting.
So much more interesting.
All right. Well, supposedly, I guess, according to Dave Filoni, what he's said that the idea is like his interest in World War II aircraft and fighter pilots. So I guess it's going to be a very pilot airborne type of show.
Which, like Rebels.
Yes, there you go. Well, the Resistance will air this fall on the Disney Channel. So there you go. Disney Star Wars Resistance, which of course I will watch. Let's see what else. Let's talk about some Netflix stuff. Any of y'all watching anything new on Netflix since I guess Jeremy's watched all of Lost in Space?
No, I have to pull it up right now on my Netflix recently watched queue because I watched one episode of a show a couple days ago, and I really liked it. It was, I think it was Spanish language, but overdubbed in English, which is always a little dicey, but they did do that. And the name of the show is Money Heist.
Money Heist.
And the episode that I watched was really good.
Huh.
I'm looking forward to continuing that show, but I enjoyed it thoroughly.
All right. I'm curious now. I guess The Handmaiden's Tale or Handmaiden's Tale on Hulu has its second season up and running now, which I haven't seen any of, but I definitely plan on that for sure.
Very nice.
Also, an old, old favorite TV show. I don't know if it was before your time, Atterbury, but Nickelodeon is reviving Double Dare.
Before my time. No, that was like right at my time. I was a Nickelodeon child for sure.
I am super, super excited for this. You have no idea how excited I am. They are going to bring back the same plus a few different ones of the physical challenges and the same obstacle course, which
really
I'm yes. Super excited.
What was the host's name for that show?
Mark Summers.
Mark Summers, that's right. Is he going to be hosting it still?
I don't know if he will, but supposedly there's going to be like a bunch of guest stars on it, and I guarantee you he'll be one of them.
Awesome. That's fantastic.
Jeremy, did you ever watch Double Dare? I always wanted to be on that show.
I did not.
He was like 35 when that show was new.
Yeah.
It was a little under his bracket.
He was watching.
I was not the demographic.
The demographic. Oh, I love that show. We're only like 5 years apart, Jeremy. I don't know. I guess I watch it all the time.
It's the mileage, buddy.
It's the mileage. In addition, for Double Dare, it looks like they are rebooting and remaking Clarissa Explains It All as well. So I guess not just Hollywood, but Nickelodeon TV shows from your childhood are being rebooted now.
Is it going to be with a new actor, or is it Melissa Joan Hart, or you said they're rebooting it, so it's a different actress?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what do you want 30-year-old – or well, she's not 30. She's like 40-something.
I would much rather have her do it as old Clarissa Explains It All, or older, than as – a totally new actress.
Well, so supposedly right now she is set to return to the show, but she might have a kid this time. And I guess
she might be the mom, is what you're saying, or something like that.
Yeah, she's supposedly supposed to return to the show, as well as the original creator of the show, Mitchell Krigman, is supposed to be writing and executive producing it. So I mean, she's not doing shit right now, so there you go.
Well, I hope it's good, and I hope that they understand the message of the original and don't portray some silly little kid, you know?
No, I mean, it's fine. And I mean, to see her little brother, Ferguson, I love that character so much. So just
Ferguson was awesome.
He was great.
What was the kid that climbed through the window? Was Sam?
Sam. And was it the same Sam in every season, or did they change him out?
I'm pretty sure it was the same Sam.
Okay. Yeah. He'd always climb through the window. Oh, Clarissa Explains It All. I must admit, I had a crush on Melissa Joan Hart back in the day when that show aired.
So you had a crush on Clarissa.
I did.
I when I was a child, had a crush on Alex Mack. Same time frame, different show.
Oh, my goodness. Alex Mack. The Alex Mack?
The character.
Okay.
You know, do you remember that show?
Yes, yes, yes.
That was probably my first exposure to, like, superhero origin story kind of thing.
The secret world of Alex Mack. Perfect. Well, I'm glad you liked her too. Do you still keep in touch with her? So good. So good. All right. Remember how a few like a week or two ago we talked about that Movie Pass subscription where you can get it for like $7 a month and see any movie?
Yes.
So to compete with them, which they might not be able to compete, several movie theater chains are developing their own ticket subscriptions. So I'm curious to see if that.
We talked about that already on one episode.
We talked
because I remember that you said that it was like some theater company is doing that, and it was like same price, but you only got to see one movie a month.
Oh, okay. I don't.
Which
know
is stupid. Because it's basically just buying a ticket in advance. I'm like, yes, we'll give you buy one ticket and we'll give you one ticket a month.
Hmm.
Awesome. Okay, that's really helpful, guys. Thank you for that.
Yeah, we'll see if that works.
That competes with being able to pay the same price and getting a movie every day all month long.
I'm curious to see how that works out. It's a good idea in theory. But I guess it just depends on how often you go see movies.
They're going to find that they're going to have to actually, like, really, truly compete with the value that you're going to get out of that if they want to shut it down.
Okay.
If they're like, hey, it's $9.99 a month and you get one or two tickets at it, I don't think it's going to cut it.
All right. All right. Well, I have a bit of a hot topic to bring up.
Oh, God. I'm afraid.
It involves The Simpsons. And there's been a lot of, I think, unnecessary controversy in regards to the character Apu. Supposedly, people are up in arms still about Hank Azaria voicing Apu in a derogatory manner. What do you think about this? I think this is terrible. I think this is such horseshit.
Jeremy, I'll let you go first. Hot potato.
I don't think he's always done it, right?
No, he's always done it. He's done like several voices of The Simpsons.
Is there something recently they've done that there's a reason, or people are all of a sudden now mad about it?
People are all of a sudden in this Me Too movement that, oh God, this is
that's Apu's not the same thing.
Characters, Indian stereotypes.
It's very different, buddy. You're crossing the streams on issues, bud.
Well, yep. I mean, where everybody's offended on something, no matter how big.
Okay. Yeah.
I just don't get it.
That's just very, very, very different.
I just don't get how this character who's been around for almost 30 years now all of a sudden is like Indian stereotypes. Stereotypes are mostly, you know, that's what we laugh at and funny and joke about.
My take on it is that maybe the Indian culture has been less than excited about it for quite a long time, and it's just now being addressed via the media. And in which case, I mean, I can understand it. It is pretty – like, I remember being in elementary school and having elementary school kids like, oh, there's an Indian guy over there, and they do an impression of Apu, basically. And if I was Indian, that would – probably fucking irritate me a lot. You know, I wouldn't enjoy that.
I mean,
so I can understand why. I mean, it's a similar thing to having actual Indian people play Indian people on film and TV. So it kind of allows a little bit more accuracy, hopefully. And it's a cartoon. It's a cartoon version that really is making fun of that type of culture in the accent. So I understand why it might not be appreciated.
But they make fun of everybody. It's like South Park. I think they get everybody, and I don't see where the
problem is. The way I see it is if the show wants to do that, they should be able to do that.
Well,
and if the culture doesn't like it, they should be able to not like it.
Hank Azaria said that he understands completely, and he wants to bring joy and laughter to people. And he said he'll happily step aside for that character's voice. And he said, like, the Simpsons writers' room can actually hire Indian or South Asian writers. Yeah. And I'm just like, I just think it's all ridiculous.
Changing times, you know, something that was considered funny 50 years ago, we can't get away with putting in movie and film nowadays. So I think that it's just part of the shift in culture, and that, you know, maybe that character doesn't fit with our modern viewpoints anymore. And that's OK. You know, put in a character that works for people.
Are
better
you offended
nowadays.
By Apu, though?
I'm not Indian. But how I feel about it is pretty fucking irrelevant.
Okay, so they – like Krusty the Clown and his dad, they do a bunch of Jewish stuff on there. And in South Park, there's tons of Jewish jokes. And I love it. I love that they do it. And because I could take a joke. I think it's funny. I think stereotypes are funny. I think you could joke about it. I love that.
I feel the same way. I do. I think that you should be able to joke about everything. But I also think that if it's offending people, then they have the right to be offended by that. And if there's enough of a movement behind it to actually cause the show to want to change it, then so be it.
Yeah, but when these people actually aren't watching The Simpsons, they just maybe see a clip of The Voice. But they have not actually seen Apu's storylines in The Simpsons being like amazing and like a good father and business owner. And, you know, I don't know. I just think along with all the jokes that come with it, but it's never done in vain or despite a whole group of people with this character.
Right.
So I don't
know. I certainly understand that. And I agree. I think that you have to be able to laugh about things or else it's too heavy. You know what I mean? I think that nothing should really be off limits as far as what you can joke about. But I think that in a case scenario like this, it's really just about what the culture – what about the people that are watching ultimately decide with their votes, which is by watching or not watching. If enough people are offended, they will stop watching and Simpsons will either have to change or not have any viewers.
Well, I think one of Brian's points is that the people that are offended are not watching it to begin with.
Right.
Yeah.
And if they're not watching and the people that – I guess the Simpsons are going to have to either take that into consideration or just be like, well, you know, you're not affecting our viewership, so degaff. And they have the right – I think they should have the right to do either one. There's not, you know, I'm not into forcing people to do things one way or the other.
Yeah, no, it just sucks that this guy's done a great job for 30 years at this. But he also does like 8 other voices on The Simpsons, you know? And like, to be clear, Mo is such a worse character than Apu is.
Well, I think one of the problems also that's unique is that as you made the comparison to Jewish culture, there's not an underrepresentation of Jews in movies and film and TV. It's not like there's just one Jewish character and it's Woody Allen. If he was the only person ever that was in movies and TV shows,
yeah,
then you might feel a little different. Like, come on, not all Jews are Woody Allen. You know what I mean? And but there's a humongous underrepresentation of Indian people and culture in films and TV shows. And so when like the most famous one is Apu, then I can understand why that might rub them a little raw. If it was just like in every TV show and movie, there was an Indian character and they were all varied, like in real life. And some people were like this, some people were like that. Then I have a feeling they might feel a little bit less, misrepresented by that.
Okay. All right. I see your point. I just hope that he doesn't leave it. That's what I'm saying. Jeremy, any other lasting words on that?
No, man, it's all good.
All right. Here's a little bit of Han Solo news for Atterbury. The guy who plays Han Solo, Harrison Ford, has joined his first animated feature film where he's going to voice a pet in Secret Life of Pets 2. Yes, Louis C.K. will not be returning, but
shocker,
Patton Oswalt has replaced him in that movie. But Harrison Ford also joins the sequel, and it's his first animated feature film, which is by now is really weird. I just can't. I don't see why he just hasn't gone into the studio for like 2 days.
Wait, so young Han Solo is playing in this movie, or just old Han Solo?
Old Han Solo.
I thought you were saying that the new guy, Garen, whatever his name is.
No, oh, no, I'm just saying Harrison Ford is going to be appearing in an animated movie. He just took a really long way around.
I wanted to make John happy.
We're trying to make an hour's worth of show here.
So I'm excited. I liked the first Secret Life of Pets movie okay enough. There were some good moments to it. But now I love Patton Oswalt. He was fantastic as Remy in Ratatouille for Pixar, so I think he'll do a good job here. And just to have Harrison Ford, why has Harrison Ford never done a voiceover? It feels like he could just walk into the studio for 2 days, make $8 million and leave and go do something else.
I mean, isn't he already the highest grossing actor of all time?
I guess back when Star Wars, when he took a cut of the film, perhaps in that way, but... Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, he was for a long time because he even had a big jump on Tom Hanks because, like, if you think about even movies like Air Force One and all that shit, so.
Oh, my God, Air Force One.
Well, I can already imagine what I want Harrison Ford's pet to look like. I hope that Harrison Ford is a cranky fucking old cat.
A cranky old cat or a cranky old dog?
Huh. I think specifically a cat, just the whole like fuck off attitude that cats have. I really need that to be Harrison Ford as a pet.
Well, let me see if that's actually the case. Maybe it'll say which role he's actually playing.
In, like a cat named Bubbles or something.
A cat named Bubbles? Let's see here. Does it say? No, it doesn't say. Oh, my goodness. Huh. Not sure. Don't know. Doesn't say.
Oh, well.
Dang it.
That was a good 5 minutes of or good 3 minutes of show there.
Was it? Dang it.
Well, let me look this up. Nope. I can't find it. Next topic.
Next topic for sure.
Brian reads things on the internet. Almost as great as when he reads features on Blu-rays.
I read. Hey, there's some good stuff. We can get into that too if you want to.
God, no. God. That bores me, and I'm on the show.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. They showed the first. Promo poster and synopsis for John Wick Chapter 3, which I think we're all excited about, right?
Yes. I haven't seen it, but yes, I'm excited for John Wick 3.
So, yeah, John Wick 3 poster and synopsis, all that good stuff. It looks like he's on the run, you know, because as the end of 2, everybody's trying to kill him now because he is excommunicado. And it looks like they're gonna do more. They're gonna show more of that whole assassin world this time. So I'm excited for that. I'm in John Wick Chapter 3. Never stop making these movies until you make Bill and Ted 3, and then we can go back to 4. You know? No, nobody.
Yeah, man.
A little bit.
We agree.
We're just letting you do your thing, bud.
I'm just excited for this. I don't know. All right. Any other news or things you want to talk about before we get to our two main events?
I don't think so.
I enjoyed the Han Solo trailer that we saw in the movie theater.
Okay, so yes, we saw two trailers. We saw Incredibles 2 trailer and the Han Solo trailer, and both trailers were so, so good. That Han Solo trailer might be the best trailer they've done in years for any movie. It's fantastic. The music, the only thing is, it's so weird, is that last shot where it looks like Chewie's going to be killed.
Well, just does Chewie die? Find out.
I mean, nobody thinks Chewie's going to die. They're just putting a little, you know, trying to throw a little action suspense in there for you, buddy.
Okay. Well.
It's okay.
It's interesting. It looks good. It looks good. And this guy who's playing Han Solo just, and of course with Donald Glover playing Lando, man, they both just embody like the old school guys in those roles, I think. I think it's going to be great. I think it's gonna be great.
I really want there to be a lot of Lando in this movie.
From the trailers, it looks like there will be. I guess we could do predictions next week for sure for this, but yeah, let's do that. Predictions for Han Solo next week on what we think we will see in that upcoming movie. But yeah, I loved it. And Incredibles 2 trailer was also excellent. It's been way too long since we've had an Incredibles movie, so I'm definitely looking forward to that for sure. But for right now, let's get to the two main topics. One of our topics, we're going to tell you why we love certain movies where the bad guy wins, where the villain wins. And we'll go first. Yeah, let's do that first. And we have another really fun topic we haven't talked about in a while, coming up. But, yes, the best movies that we love where the bad guy wins. Atterbury, you start us out.
All righty. Up first on this list, it's got to be mentioned, The Usual Suspects.
The Usual Suspects?
Usual Suspects.
Was he a bad guy, though?
What? Was Is that he a real question?
Yes. Was he a bad guy?
He was the villain.
Are you talking about Kaiser Soze?
Yes.
How is Kaiser Soze not the villain? Let's ask that.
That dog barking is awesome.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, so anyways, for those of us who've seen the film, we know that Kaiser Soze is the villain, and he does win. And so that's why it's first up on my list. And it's kind of one of the quintessential bad guys get away with it and win kind of movies.
But I want to say that,
you know, for those of us that like movies,
I just want to say, like, it seems like in that movie, like, somebody killed his family and all this stuff, and so it's like revenge. So
that was the story he was telling.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying it's here nor there.
Up next on my list, another film with Kevin Spacey, Seven.
That was on mine.
Because as we know, he definitely gets it his way. And it goes exactly the way he planned it. So that's a victory for the villain. Great movie. Love it. Absolutely. Next up on the list, number three. Got to say it. Empire Strikes Back.
But does the Empire win?
I would say that the bad guys won in that film. Not ultimately, but in that film, the bad guys won, in my opinion.
But who specifically wins?
Well, so they got Han Solo in his carbonite, and
Jabba does their
mission. He was a bad guy. Jabba and Boba Fett were bad guys, and they they accomplished their mission. And Darth Vader got to, you know, fuck Luke up, and
Vader's
send him away
job
crying.
Was to bring Luke back.
So it wasn't a total victory, but I would say it was a striking back of the Empire.
Vader fucked it up. Like he does everything.
Pretty much. And next up on the list, Identity.
Oh, man, that movie was so good.
I love that movie with John Cusack and so many other great people. Such a fun movie.
That's a great film.
And the bad guy wins in that one. It's kind of like, I don't even know if I would say the bad guy wins, but the bad guy prevails. How I would say it. And last on the list, Rosemary's Baby.
She did join the bad people in the end.
The bad guys won, and that movie is to this day actually one of the scariest movies that I've seen. It is truly a scary movie.
Yeah, for sure. That is, it's frightening for sure. Because you just like
everything
there's
about
no
that movie.
Help anywhere.
Yeah, such a scary thing when it's like the people you trust the most, and just like everywhere, it's just bad guys basically.
All right. Yeah.
Super
good list.
Super cool movie though. Yeah. Thank you.
Very good list. Jeremy, what about you?
All right. So John had one of mine, which was Seven.
Seven.
I also would – I would probably put No Country for Old Men on that list.
Antoine Sugar definitely wins.
He does. And that I'm only
– just so good. I every time I think about that movie, I'm oh, that's such a great movie.
It is great.
And the last one I'm going with is also Star Wars, and that would be Revenge of the Sith.
I was going to ask you about that because I think Episode 3 would probably be more so of a bad guy winning than Empire.
Yeah, but Empire is a better movie.
It is.
That is very true. Very true.
But Palpatine definitely wins in that movie.
No doubt. No doubt. Palpatine wins in pretty much every movie except for Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I like it. That's a good list too, man. Damn. What do I got? I don't know. All right.
Shit. You got shit.
I got shit. Here's one. We'll go with this. The original Saw movie. Dude just fucking wakes up in the bathroom and is like, ha, psych, I'm alive. Leaves a dude to cut his foot off and the other to die. Poor bastards. And he's gotten away with it in like 8 movies. So bad guy wins there. And it, when you look at it, he's kind of a good guy, but who knows. Also, I'm going to say...
What?
Huh?
What? Hold on. Back it up. You're just going to drop that on us and keep moving?
What is your criteria for someone being bad?
I'm really starting to question your moral compass, Brian.
We need to go back to your Kaiser Soze shit, and you explain why you think maybe he's not the bad guy. When he's trying to kill someone in witness protection, that's seen his face.
This really explains a lot.
Let's go back to that. How is Kaiser Soze possibly not a bad guy?
Well, with the story he's telling, he's like, this guy just had his whole family killed in front of him, and so he just...
That doesn't mean you go kill other people and be a good guy.
He's the anti-hero. He's the revenge. He's the Kill Bill thing.
Okay, well, then what we needed to determine, though, is someone who's an anti-hero, like the Punisher, you know, are they a bad guy or are they not?
The Punisher is not a bad guy.
Okay.
No, I would say Kaiser Soze is a bad guy, but he's – you like him.
That doesn't mean he's a good guy. You can like bad guys. I like Heath Ledger as the Joker. It doesn't mean he's a freaking good guy.
Oh, that's great.
But he told that story about his dad and how he got his scars, John.
He's hard to feel bad. It's hard to feel bad at him. He has an excuse.
I mean – He had it rough.
He did. It was rough. Okay.
So, yeah, so we got that. And do you also think that Kevin Spacey's character in Seven was not a bad guy?
You really – it's a wishy-washy line there. Because his reasoning at the end is just like, holy shit, yeah, I agree with that guy.
Jesus Some bullshit. Christ. Who is my friend?
My friend. Okay. Let's talk about another Brad Pitt movie from Seven that I think where the bad guy wins, Fight Club. I mean, they did destroy buildings and all sorts of stuff. So I'm really sure Tyler Durden did win that movie.
But is Tyler Durden really a bad guy?
Exactly. I don't know. So one really bad guy, actually bad woman, no qualms about it, where the bad guy, bad woman wins, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Nurse Ratched is absolutely the worst,
yes,
worst person
Satan
in the
incarnate.
World. And, oh, it's so unfortunate that Jack Nicholson is brain dead in that movie. Ugh. She's Worth It. Yeah.
No, and that's also a fantastic film, too.
It is a great movie. So that also, I'm going to put this on the list. I watched it recently. But you love this guy so much. Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter. You love this guy. He eventually wins, for sure. You just like him. I don't know why. Why do you like him? We don't know.
Well, I think we appreciate the charisma and the intelligence of the character.
No, true. True, true, true.
Yeah. He does definitely win, though.
He does. No doubt.
So, yeah, those are my...
Like every movie.
That's my list right now for the villain wins. But I think we had a lot of good suggestions there if you want to watch a movie where the villain wins. So yes, there you go. Who has the last topic of the day?
Last topic of the day was our Kevin and Dwayne installment that we haven't done in so long.
We have not done a Kevin and Dwayne installment.
We haven't done this in so long. I was actually thinking of shit and was like, wait, did we already do that one?
So since this was my suggestion, I'll kick us off here. And I'm going to say I would really like a remake of My Cousin Vinny called My Cousin Dwayne. And Dwayne Johnson plays Joe Pesci's character, Vinny. And Kevin Hart plays Ralph Macchio's character.
So Dwayne is the lawyer?
Dwayne is the lawyer.
No way. You have to have Kevin Hart do the lawyer. He's as short as Joe Pesci.
Nope. I want Dwayne Johnson to have to be the crappy lawyer that would rather work out than actually do the stuff.
Okay.
Right. He can almost be very similar to his character in Pain and Gain. Is that the movie with Mark Wahlberg?
Oh, God, mm-hmm. Yes.
Similar to that character in that role would just be really funny. I would love to see that.
Okay.
But who would you guys like to see as Marissa Tomei's character in that version of that movie? That was the one thing I was trying to think of. I couldn't really picture. She was so perfect in that role. It's hard to imagine anyone else doing that.
She looks just as good.
Yeah, she's not far off from Dwayne Johnson's age. It would work still.
I'm in.
But can you think of anyone else, though, that you would think could do that role properly?
I'm trying to think.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. All right, what do you guys have?
Who's going first?
Brian?
Okay. I have
Lay
two.
On us.
I have two.
All right.
First one. When Harry Met Sally remake, and it's a homoerotic movie with Dwayne and Kevin, romantic gay relationship with Dwayne and Kevin when Harry met Sally. I think for the Billy Crystal role, it will be Dwayne, and with Meg Ryan's role, it will be Kevin. I want to see that so badly because in these times we need this movie, I think. And who else to play it better than those two? And why haven't they yet? No? Why are you shaking your head?
Because that sounds horrible.
That sounds great. I'm in. When Harry
Brian just admitted that he wants to watch Kevin Hart fake an orgasm on screen.
I do. And then Dwayne say, I'll have what he's having. I want to see that. Also, my second pick for this, if y'all didn't like the first pick, is Scent of a Woman with a blind Dwayne Johnson and a young Charlie played by Kevin Hart.
Oh, my God. That's
hilarious.
How
do you have Kevin Hart play a young Charlie in high school?
I think you could change it to maybe like young college, and Kevin Hart might be able to pass for a college age of some sort. I don't know.
Yep.
Or maybe he's just down on his luck. Maybe this guy's just down on luck. He lost his job. He needs to make ends meet, and this is what happens.
I feel like you just opened up your boxes of movies while you were moving for this, and just looked down and were like.
Just reached in, grabbed two movies, and was like, yep, those will do.
And that one. All right, I'll make this work.
those are great fucking ideas. What are you talking about? How do you not want to see that movie?
You said a homoerotic Harry Met Sally with Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart.
Do you know how many hundreds of millions of dollars that would make? It would win an Oscar strictly for that.
Jeremy, what do you have? I'm just tired of being disappointed. Don't give me something good.
I'm giving you gold.
I'm going with Tombstone. I would like The Rock in a nice Western, and you know, The Rock's Wyatt Earp and Kevin Hart's Doc Holliday.
Now, would that be a serious reboot of Tombstone, or would it be a complete joking version of Tombstone?
It would be serious with some joking moments.
Okay. I would absolutely watch that movie.
It would be serious while Kevin Hart still making, you know, Doc Holliday funny.
I'll be your Huckleberry. I can't even imagine Kevin Hart delivering that line, but I would watch the shit out of it.
You would watch the shit out of that, but you wouldn't watch the shit out of mine? What?
Yes, you're correct, Brian.
Yes.
God, you're killing me over here. Gold, gold.
Well, that was enlightening.
If I ever get the chance to interview The Rock, it's going to happen. The Rock or Kevin Hart, I am going to ask him this.
I can't wait to see that.
Which would you guys rather be in? A remake of Tombstone or a remake of When Harry Met Sally?
Yep. I just want to see those two in a Western now. I don't even care what it is. Just give them a Western and let them do it. That would be fantastic.
I mean, wouldn't you just do like Shanghai Nights, but with those two now instead of Jackie Chan and Owen Wilson?
But none of those guys knows Kung Fu.
Why does it need to be the third movie in the installment too? Why does it have to be Shanghai Nights? Can't it just be Shanghai Noon, the first one?
Well, sure, whatever, whichever one, Shanghai Afternoon Tea, I don't care.
Plus, it only makes sense if one of the people is from, you know, the Middle East, or not Middle East, but from
the Middle East. Oh my God. That has made that entire thing so much dumber.
The Orient.
That's not what I meant to say. I misspoke. I know that's not where it's from. God damn it.
So do we need to have a geography lesson here, Atterbury?
We also
need to explain why having The Rock and Kevin Hart, you cannot have a title Shanghai anyway.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say. But I know. It's not the Middle East.
Then you just drove the truck right off a fucking cliff.
Trying to think the right way to word it.
You may not have succeeded.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that was funny. That's funny.
That might have been my favorite part of the whole show, though.
It's really a good thing that nobody listens to this podcast.
Oh, at least we make each other laugh. That's all that matters.
Well, we're getting out of it.
Damn it.
Yeah. Let's go play some Sea of Thieves.
Well, that is our podcast of Mediocrity. We're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We love you. We heart you. And tell us what Kevin and Dwayne movie you want to see. And you know my Harry Met Sally one is quite possibly the best suggestion ever made. And we'll see you all in the Middle East next show.
Fuck you.
Oh, later, guys.